Looking for that all-in-one travel app? The one that can track your various loyalty and travel rewards programs in one centralized place, along with your travel bookings and real-time updates to your flights? Check out App in the Air. Best of all, it also integrates with the popular travel app TripIt, making it easy to import all of your travel information. Check out App in the Air and get 20% off of your next flight when you book directly through the app by using the code GeoBreeze at checkout. Thank you to App in the Air for partnering with this episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipina-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking.
I guess about 2.5 weeks into May, or into April, I should say, that's when I decided to okay, let's just actually take a whole month out of this and go absolutely crazy. And as you kind of know with award space, whether it's hotels or flights, you're either going to be way in advance, or if you're flexible or you can run like me, it's actually better to wait till the last minute. So I basically just kind of started looking at all right, what planes haven't I flown? I saw Qatar was bringing their A380 back. I'd flown Emirates a few times. I saw the Oman Air first class. So essentially, I was just kind of on a mission to, fly some new airlines, fly some first class cabins that I haven't flown before. But then also, really kind of, obviously have the experience, but to kind of show people the true value of what your points can get you. Like when you're flying a $6,000-$8,000 flight and you're doing it for 60,000 or 70,000 points.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Tommy Lonergan from Travel Like Tommy. Tommy has saved more than $500,000 in free luxury travel over the last 7 years by focusing on maximum value high-end redemptions, aka bucket list points redemptions. In this episode, Tommy and I discuss an incredible series of points trips he took last May, where he spent more than 1,000,000 points to fly some of the most luxurious first class and business class products and stay in some incredible hotels. If you are looking to upgrade your travel, check out the Capital One Venture X. It comes with an annual $300 travel credit to use in the Capital One portal, a $100 TSA pre-check credit, lounge access, and top-tier rental car status. Best of all, it has a lower annual fee than similar premium credit cards like the Chase Sapphire Reserve and the Amex Platinum. Remember, if you are interested in opening a new card, please don't apply through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral links. If you are interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards, and we have a link to the Capital One Venture X in the show notes for you. And now, on with the show. Hey, Tommy, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hey, Julia, how are you? Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here and really excited to hear about your 1,000,000 miles that you spent in a month of epic travel. We're going to talk all about all of those different cool redemptions that I got to watch you do on Instagram while I was so jealous. Before we get into all of that, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and how did you get into the game of points and miles?
Yeah. Awesome. Well, kind of got a major change from the former, profession, if you will. So I was actually an executive chef, went to business school, always worked in the food industry, the restaurant industry. I moved out to Vail, Colorado, right after I graduated college with no job, no plan, nowhere to live. And I landed an exec chef job at 22. So pretty awesome there. But living in Vail, Colorado, it's a lot of good, a lot of fun to have, if you will. So you got to make sure you have a good work-life balance. Well, I got the travel itch about 23 or 24. I went on a trip down to Nicaragua, a bunch of friends. We had a huge Airbnb, VRBO, whatever you called it back then. And I got back from that trip and I'm like, man, I want to do that tomorrow and I want to do that the next day. Like, how can I do that again? Well, then the realities kicked in of travel's expensive. And even if you're doing budget type travel, it still adds up. So in my mind, I'm like, okay. Do I get a second job, sacrifice the work-life quality balance that I've got, or is there another way? Well, enter the points guy. I read my first points guy article when I was maybe 23 or 24. And I actually had some bad, I did some dumb stuff with credit in college, let's just say. So learned some lessons early on, but basically, you know, I couldn't go out and just get an American Express Platinum card. I couldn't go get, you know, a Chase Sapphire card. So I knew what I wanted to try to do, but I kind of had to start from ground zero. So basically was able to get a Capital One card, put every penny on that card for a year. And I was making payments a couple times a month. And basically I got my score. I don't think it was quite to 700, but it was in the high 600s. And I essentially, I'm like, okay, let's give this a try. So I got my first American Express card. It was actually a SPG card. So throwback there. And all of a sudden I had a credit card that I was earning points on. And I guess you could almost really kind of flash forward a few years. But basically from that point on, I started to add, you know, every few months I would get a new credit card. I didn't really do it with the same strategy that I have now. It was just kind of like, oh, that looks cool, I'll get that. But, you know, essentially over the next couple of years, would add all these cards, started to build the points up, started using some of the points, not necessarily in the ways that I do now. Probably every, you know, travel points person's early mistakes are, you know, using things through the portal or using them for really low value stuff. But at the end of the day, I kind of achieved my goal of, holy cow, I'm traveling for free just by putting my everyday expenses on my credit card. And, you know, that was about 2 or 3 years into it. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're making a little bit more money. You get a little more savvy in the points and miles game. And from there, it kind of turned into, okay, like, yeah, I've got all these points. I've done some traveling, but like, you know, I want to fly business class. Like, I want to fly first class. I want to stay in nice hotels. And that's kind of really where all the strategy and I guess the further education into this whole game kind of came into where, you know, learning about all the transfer partners and, you know, which airlines are going to charge the least for most, for the least amount of miles for this type of flight, and really kind of just diving right into everything where it was like, I mean, I was calculating every cent per point. I mean, every flight I took, every hotel, you know, there was the nerdy math levels behind it because I was like, well, if I'm only going to get 3 or 4 cents a point, like that's great, but you know, I could get 10 cents somehow. Like, I know there's a way to do it. So basically traveled 6-7 years of adding the cards, growing the point balances, doing some pretty epic trips along the way, but still kind of growing those points, especially our transferable points. You know, got in with Amex, Chase, Citi, Capital One. I mean, I guess if you flash forward to, I mean, basically, let's just say this year, I've been to 59 countries. I've earned and burned, at least 5 million points and miles. Somewhere, I couldn't even possibly give you an exact number. And all of it was just literally from everyday spend. You know, obviously there's some sign-up bonuses in there. There's some, you know, sales of points and miles. There's some other little things in the mix that you can do. I mean, you know, I mean, it's retention offers, referrals, shopping portals, all those little things kind of add up. But essentially, yeah, that was kind of my journey from out of college, wasn't making too much money, wanted to travel, learn the game. And now it's kind of like, I mean, I guess you could call it almost expert level stuff where, which seeped into what I did this May, which was, I called it Million Point May. But just to sell, I'll go further into details on it, but just the summary of it was, I essentially used 1 million points and miles. It was a combination of Amex, Citi, Capital One, and Marriott points. Grand total on that was about $72,000 in travel just over the course of that trip. So that, I'm looking forward to digging in further into that, but that's kind of the timeline, if you will, from ground zero to wherever you want to place me now.
So tell us a little bit about Million Mile May. How did you come up with the concept for it? How did you decide, I'm going to do this? I'm just really into alliteration. How did this come up?
Yeah, so you know what? It kind of started, I guess a couple different things started. So one of them was, like I said, me and Eli had just kind of partnered up. It was early January. I was down in Mexico for a month. But basically, you know, I was full-on nomad at that point. And I knew that like the next 3 to 4 months, pretty much January through April, was like, buckle down. We got something massive to build together and, you know, we got to work. So essentially, well, we got the work done. I obviously traveled and had a little fun along the way, but like, I really kind of buckled down for those few months where it was like, dude, if you get this set up now, it's going to run, it's going to work, and you just got to make a little short-term sacrifice. So that was one of them where it was like, okay, you just grinded your butt off for 4 months to try to make something out of this. And then essentially, like I told you not, I took on a little side consulting job back in the food world just for the summer. So I knew I was going to be starting that, you know, mid-June for about 8 weeks into early August. So essentially I was like, all right, you just grew this business in 4 months. You're going to take on a little side job. Like May is kind of like, let's go. Like, let's go out there. Let's travel. Go freaking big. That was kind of the mindset behind that. But how I guess the actual trip itself started though, the entire trip started with when I had booked, I think it was, I don't know if it was in December of last year or January of this year, but you know, obviously I'm a big av geek. I just love flying. I love airplanes, love flying. A lot of these awesome planes, specifically the A380, all of them were essentially grounded during COVID. So, you know, with the exception of Emirates, basically. So I don't remember exactly when it was, but I read an article saying Singapore is bringing back the A380. And before I even read through the rest of the article, I just saw something about saver rates were wide open. So with literally no plan whatsoever, I'm just like, okay, like June 1st sounds like a good day. I go on to Singapore, boom, Singapore Suites is open at a saver rate from Frankfurt to JFK. I didn't even think. I mean, instantly transferred 86,000 Amex over to Singapore, booked it. And then basically, I figured that was going to be the end of the trip. And I guess about 2.5 weeks into April, I should say, that's when I decided to like, okay, let's just actually take a whole month out of this and go absolutely crazy. And as you kind of know with award space, whether it's hotels or flights, you're either going to be way in advance, or if you're flexible or you can run like me, it's actually better to wait till the last minute. So I basically just kind of started looking at like, all right, what planes haven't I flown? I saw Qatar was bringing their A380 back. You know, I'd flown Emirates a few times. I saw the Oman Air first class. So essentially I was just kind of on a mission to, you know, fly some new airlines, fly some first class cabins that I haven't flown before, but then also, you know, really kind of, hey, I mean, obviously have the experience, but to kind of show people like the true value of what your points can get you. Like when you're flying a $6,000-$8,000 flight and you're doing it for 60,000 or 70,000 points, it was like kind of mind blowing. So first reason, like I said, I wanted to go big, got a lot of work before and after, but it was go in, fly a bunch of the different airlines and the products that I haven't gotten to fly before. And then like I said, just be able to show, you know, the people what, just like the max miles points things, you know, your credit cards points are worth more than you think now. So I was doing that. And then I went to the Seychelles for 10 days. So I've been trying to go to the Seychelles for like 4 or 5 years, a couple of Hilton properties over there. But, you know, you always have something to do, but then a different travel idea comes up or a different travel plan. So I got to knock the Seychelles off, went to two amazing, amazing Hilton properties out there. Yeah, like I said, one of them was points. One of them was cash, but also factored in some credit card hacks or perks, if you will. But yeah, like I said, that was the point. It was just to go big, try a bunch of new stuff and try to give everybody some visual representation of how powerful these points are if you know how to use them. I mean, anybody can earn the points. It's, you know, get a card that's going to earn you the most for what you're buying and you earn them. Most people really miss the whole redeeming of the points. So that was like kind of the main goal, but all in, it was a total of, I used 1.35 million points to book. If you factor in some of the transfer bonuses from Amex to airlines, I basically went out 1,040,000 points for a grand total of $72,721 for the trip. That's including all the flights and all the hotels that I used points on.
Can you kind of walk us through the chronological, okay, first I flew this to this country, it cost mm-hmm. this many points, stayed at this hotel, walk us through in order that way.
So yeah, so we basically started the journey in LA. Our first flight was going to be on JetBlue Mint in their new studio suite. So for this one, I actually used 72,000 JetBlue miles, and I think it was about $170 extra to upgrade to the studio suite, but a lot of this trip was really just off of everyday spend, but this flight specifically, last year JetBlue had a Barclays sign-up bonus that I think was 100,000 points. So essentially use that those points from that sign-up bonus to book this for 72,000. So then we went from JFK to Dubai. We flew on the Emirates A380. This one was a pricey flight because there's never any transfer bonuses, but this was 136,250 miles. Plus, I think around 300 in taxes and fees. I know they just raised them again. But essentially, it was about a $14,000 flight. So I got over 10 cents per point in value from this redemption. I believe I transferred those at a combination of Amex and Capital One. But like I said, to get 10 cents a point on redemption is pretty epic. Next one. This was where we got some transfer bonuses that kind of came into play here. So fooled around in Dubai for a couple days, and then the next stop was ultimately going to be Rome, but once again flew a slightly less direct route. But I got to fly on Qatar Airlines first class on their A380, which was also retired for most of COVID. I booked this for 65,000 British Airways Avios. So they're part of the One World Alliance, so obviously you can book partner airlines with Avios, but Amex had a 40% transfer bonus going on. So at the end of the day, at 65,000 Avios only really required me to transfer 47,000 American Express points. So massive value there. I think that was 13 or 14 cents per point. Got to Rome. I actually stayed, hopped around. I did the St. Regis Rome, the Westin Rome, and also the W Rome, all of which were points, about 60 to 70,000 each. But what I did is I actually applied Suite Night Awards to each one of those stays. So I ended up in the St. Regis suite at the St. Regis. It was like $3,500 a night, insane room. Just the hotel was just beautiful itself. The Westin, I was in the Grand Lux suite, the two huge rooms, living room, fireplace, very old. You know, it's an older hotel. That's not the right word to describe it. But, and then my last night was at the W in Rome, where I had the quote unquote mega terrace suite. Same thing. Points, applied the suite night, all three of my suite nights cleared, and I ended up in just absolutely epic rooms, especially for like compared to your normal European hotel room that you would get. Just two thumbs up.
That is incredible. And also congratulations for getting all your suite upgrades to clear, because I hear people are having a lot of trouble, especially I think it's more of a US problem where Marriott's just like, we're not going to let your suite upgrade clear. Yeah. And for anybody who's not familiar with these, once you reach Marriott Platinum or higher, then you get these suite upgrade awards as like an annual gift. You have choices between a few different things, and the suite night awards are the ones where you are going to get the best value, unless you are me and try to apply them at the St. Regis New York. And they're like, this is like a deluxe room that kind of counts. It really does not, but yeah. Okay. So yeah. Why do you focus on Marriott more than like Hyatt or other programs?
You know what? I guess I can kind of see into that too. But I was a Hilton guy for many years. I've transitioned, but I'm going to give you a quick little value drop, or the listeners a value drop, on helping to get your suite nights to clear. Okay. So these three hotels that I stayed at in Rome, I had no set. I mean, I knew I was going to be there for three nights. Okay. So what I did is I basically looked, I'm like, okay, like these are the three hotels I'd want to stay at, right? I've got all these suite nights, some left over from last year, but you know, I want these things to clear. So what I basically did is I went in to each of these three hotels and I just made a booking that obviously was going to go cancel, but booked a night in each one of these hotels. And then I went to my reservations in the Marriott app or on the website, clicked on apply suite night award so that I could see which rooms were actually applicable for a suite night award. Okay, so some hotels had two options, like the W had like six different options. So once I saw which rooms you could actually, you know, apply a suite, or you know, which rooms you could essentially or potentially get upgraded to, now what I did is I actually went backwards again and I looked at availability for each of these hotels for those three nights that I was going to be potentially staying there. And I strategically booked the St. Regis Rome one night because the best room you could possibly have with the suite night award as of a couple of days before was still showing as available. and basically did that same thing with the Westin and with the W. So I might have flopped some things around, but essentially make a mock booking, see what rooms are available to be, you know, potentially upgraded for your suite night awards, and don't use them for a deluxe room. Use them for the most expensive room you can possibly use them for. Then you can actually go into those dates, and if you are flexible, click on standard rates and just see if that room's actually showing as available still. And if it is, you know, you got some things going on your side, is that hopefully nobody books that thing up. And all of my suite nights cleared before I even checked in. I mean, they were cleared days, 3 or 4 days before I even checked in. But that's the biggest, let's just say I've had very good luck doing that. It takes a little extra, a couple layers of strategy. But I honestly might be like 100% all time with my suite night awards. Like, I don't know that I've not had one go through, but I've kind of done that each time I've used them.
That's a great tip, especially since you're booking just a few days out anyway. Obviously, if you need to make your booking months out ahead of time, mm-hmm. you can't really do that game as much because I guess there's availability for the grand suite right now, but things could change in months. If you're booking this a week out, your chances are pretty good.
Yeah, you know, they're really good. But then the same thing, Julia, is like all these, a lot of these bookings, especially points bookings, is you've got a lot of flexibility in terms of cancellations and stuff like that too. So you might be able to cancel the day before your reservation or the, you know, 2 days out to where, yes, absolutely lock something down months in advance, but then don't think you shouldn't still just kind of take a little look, you know, as you kind of get closer to your departure or your to your arrival, because things flop around, other people cancel, there's all sorts of moving parts. And when there's no penalty to, you know, cancel something and to easily be able to rebook. So absolutely agree. It's 1,000% recommended to, if you have a plan, secure it in advance, but just take a little look and just see what's out there as you approach. And, you know, you may be able to score something better than you would have thought.
Awesome. All right. Great tips. So what came next on the trip?
Oh, okay. So where was I? So finished up in Rome. I actually flew, this was funny, I flew the European business class, if you will. So I was ragging on all the crappy food we have here in the States in first class. Well, at least we have nice, big, wide recliner seats. Business class in Europe is basically an economy seat that's got a blocked off middle seat. So it's really nothing special. But I flew Lufthansa nonstop from Rome to Frankfurt. I used Avianca Life Miles. They had a 15% or I think it was a 25% transfer bonus from Citi. So I think for like 10 or 11,000 Citi points, I booked quote unquote business class to Frankfurt. Literally just laid over there because I flew to Frankfurt so that I could fly on Oman Air's first class. Definitely like a lesser known airline program, but they had a really phenomenal product. You can actually book with Air Canada miles. So left Frankfurt to Muscat, back to Dubai. It was 65,000 Air Canada. Same thing. I think this is from, I did a lot of Capital One and Amex like combos to transfer these points from. Cash price on this bad boy was, let's see here, $5,644. So I got about 8.7 cents per point there. Ended up back in Dubai for a few days. Romped around, we did Omaha. And we did the Ritz-Carlton Ras Al Khaimah. Both of those were 80,000 points a night, and they were both about $1,450. So about a little over 2 cents per point in value, which for Marriott is pretty good. I basically live in Marriott, so I generate a lot of Marriott points, and there was no transfers going on there. But yes, to get over 2 cents per point on a Marriott redemption is a win. And then didn't use any suite nights there because like you're all villa properties and a lot of like your Ritz-Carltons, like suite night awards like aren't applicable. So but their standard rooms are absolutely epic. So done with Dubai finally, I think. Next stop was, this was actually one of my favorite redemptions just in terms of the number of miles required. But I basically flew from Dubai, Doha, down to the Seychelles, and it was only 30,000 Asia miles, which is Cathay Pacific's program. Now, what's cool about this one is that, you know, I use Award Hacker a lot just to make sure that I'm looking for the right programs. So this was only 30,000 through Asia miles. The next closest program was pricing this flight at 57,000. So massive, massive difference just because of how Asia or Cathay Pacific codes their region. Apparently the Seychelles is in the same region as Dubai and the other airlines don't think that. So
how did you get Cathay miles or Asia miles?
I believe that was a transfer from Amex. I'm almost positive. Transferred Amex 1-to-1 ratio over there. And honestly, I don't know that I have used that. I think that was the first time I had used this program at all. Now, I will say there was a little bit, I think I paid more taxes and fees on this flight than I did for any of the other ones. I think one of the ways it was like $140. But then on the return flight, though, it was like $340, $350. So there was a little, you know, a little blow on the taxes and fees. But for 30,000 miles, that's pretty insane. And the best part about this is that the Dubai to Doha, yes, it was business class, but they actually coded that as a first class flight, meaning I got access to the Al Safa Lounge again in Doha. So you're drinking, you know, $150 bottle of champagne. You can take a bubble bath in the spa. So that 30,000 points that I got to fly Q Suites in, take a bubble bath, it was probably one of my favorite redemptions of the trip. So got into the Seychelles, which is kind of like the last major stop of the trip, but we did two hotels. So over to Hilton. So as I was telling you before, I'm pretty pro Marriott now, but Hilton was my bread and butter for, you know, the first 70-80% of my points and miles journey, if you will. So they're definitely close to my heart still. I've just found someone else at the same time. But I did the Hilton Seychelles North Home, which is actually Hilton's smallest property in the entire world. I think it's only like 50 or 60 villas, something like that. But basically, I had enough Hilton points to cover either 5 nights at Hilton North Home, or I had enough to cover 5 nights at Hilton La Breeze, which is one of their other hotels. But essentially, use 380,000 points for a standard sunset room before, well, basically on arrival, asked about rooms. Everything was really, really full at this point too. Basically, they weren't able to do any kind of diamond upgrade, but I offered $150 a night cash to basically upgrade from the sunset villa to the like deluxe pool villa, which was like twice as much per night. So basically 380,000 points plus $600, and the overall stay would have been $8,610. So even with the cash that I paid to upgrade, I still got massive value. And this one I did actually transfer from Amex. So Amex is generally a 1-to-2 ratio with Hilton, but they were doing, I forget what the exact bonus was, but I was getting 2.6 Hilton for every one Amex. So ultimately, I booked this for only 145,000 American Express points transferred via Hilton. So beautiful property. If you want to go for a bucket list type Hilton redemption, absolutely would recommend it. And then coming up on the last stop of the trip here, we went to Hilton Seychelles La Breeze. So they got their own little private island. It's on this like volcanic rock. It was absolutely incredible. But what I did with this one was kind of factored in a few things. So the first one was I had the Citi Prestige card, not available anymore, but you know, it used to be Citi's kind of premium card. And one of the benefits that they have that I've actually never used until now, I've had it for a few years, but they basically give you the fourth night free when you book through the Citi Thank You portal. So I'm like, okay, I got this coming. Now, the next kicker to that was, usually when like Hilton or Marriott, they'll do their own promo. A lot of times you're not going to see that promo through the OTAs, but Hilton was offering a stay longer and save promo, which I think it was, you know, same thing. It was stay 4 nights and get the fifth night free. Well, anyway, that promo was actually applied through the Citi Thank You portal. So long story short, I paid cash for 3 nights and I stayed for 5. So I want to say it was maybe $1,300 cash essentially for 5 nights. Now, got over to the hotel, or actually the day before I got to the hotel, I did one of those, hey, let's check the availability. You know, what kind of upgrade am I going to ask for? And I noticed that same thing. I mean, it was all the rooms were totally like disappearing fast, but I wanted the deluxe beachfront pool villa. So I called them like, hey, I'm checking in tomorrow. I noticed you guys are like, you know, basically sold out, but I saw that this room is available for the first four nights of my stay. You know, what would it take to get a confirmed upgrade? And I think she came back, it was like $300 a night or something like that. And I just kind of countered, I'm like, hey, I'll give you $700 for the four nights to upgrade into the deluxe beachfront. Manager called me back, accepted the offer. Boom.
This is a great tip because I don't think anybody realizes that you can haggle like this. Yeah. Oh, I should just write them an email. And then if they're like, well, we're sold out, we can't do anything. We're not offering it to you for free. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't get it for free, but you get it for 25% the cost of what that upgrade
actually would cost. Exactly.
And some people are like, well, I want to do like free travel or nothing. I'm like, isn't it worth it to pay an extra $100 per night?
No question.
To get like a beachfront, like overwater bungalow or whatever dream room you want? Yes, the answer is yes.
No
question. Great tip. You can haggle for these rooms and you can do it in a nice way. You don't have to like yell at managers or anything. Just be very polite and be like, what would it take? Like you said, and then you kind of counter offer and it's like a business negotiation. And then at some point they're like, well, we got money for this room that maybe we weren't going to get. And you're like, I got this room that otherwise I wouldn't have gotten. So
exactly right. So, I mean, that's like the biggest thing too. And you know, obviously if you're able to, you know, one of my biggest things is, you know, obviously we all love comp upgrades. Like I do pretty good with those, same kind of thing. I like to see what rooms are available. And then, you know what, if you don't get the free one, then you don't get the free one. But if you're on a big trip like this, and let me tell you the experience that I had from having this beachfront pool villa compared to the garden villa that I would have had for $150, I would have paid $500 a day. Once I got into that room and I saw it compared to what the other rooms were, like I said, I would have paid the points and $500 a day to have that room. So the fact that I got it for $150, amazing. Now, here's where it gets better. So I told you I only had four nights that they had this room available, right? So my last night I had to go back to my measly garden villa at the Hilton La Breeze. So on our third day, we get a knock on our gate, you know, coming to our back area. And it's the reservations manager who I had met at the, you know, Hilton Diamond cocktail reception the night before. He goes, hey, you know, Mr. Lonergan, how are you? I'm like, how could I be doing bad? This is great. Everything's amazing. And he's like, so I was trying to figure out, you know, how to accommodate you for the last night of your stay, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I've got some bad news. You know, you're going to have to change rooms. I'm like, that's, you know, that's okay, man. I knew we were going to have to, like, I'm super stoked to be here. But he goes, how would you like to go to the presidential villa instead?
What?
Yes. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, are you kidding me? And he's like, actually, if you want to go to the presidential villa tonight, we can send the butlers over anytime to pick your bags up. So I had like two calls that I had to get on. I'm like, okay, like, you know, get through these calls really quick. And essentially for the last two nights of my stay, we were in the Silhouette Estate, which was, I called it a compound. It was four separate buildings. It had a pool that was bigger than the entire, you know, community pool for the resort. Secluded beach. It was the most insane thing I'd ever experienced, seen, or whatever. I still don't know how or why I was offered that. I don't know. I mean, I had a really good conversation with the guy, you know, at the cocktail reception, but talk about a, like a reverse of, you know, like I was all upset, like, oh, we got to change rooms tomorrow, to like full on, is this real life?
If you are listening to this episode thinking, I wish I could travel like this, but I don't know where to start. I offer free credit card consultations by email at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. Additionally, I host a masterclass and group coaching session each month through the Patreon. We've also added a new Patreon feature. Once you've been in the Patreon for 12 consecutive months, I will gift you a vacation voucher to the city of your choice. I've also added an option to sign up for an annual membership. With this option, you will get two free masterclasses each year, and you'll get your vacation package voucher upfront. You can find more information about the vacation vouchers, consultations, and more in the show notes. This week's Patreon shout out goes out to Shayla. Thank you so much for being a part of the GeoBreeze Travel Patreon community.
So anyway, Seychelles was great. Solo again, leaving Seychelles. And I'm booked on going back to Dubai. So I'm booked on Air France business class into Charles de Gaulle. I had, I think there was a transfer bonus and there was a Flying Blue promo award. So essentially I booked business class Dubai to Paris for like 30,000 points. I mean, it was stupid how low it was. But my goal was to upgrade to Air France La Prem, which is their first class. So basically the best way to do this is you can't book it with miles. Like you have to have their top tier elite status or you got to pay cash. So there's really not a hack. But what you can do is if there's seats available, they will actually release it for a paid upgrade to business class passengers, even on award tickets. So basically my plan was, okay, I'll pay $800 to $1,000 to upgrade basically on arrival. All four seats were open until literally like the day of departure and all four seats got booked up. So, you know, wah, wah, like boo-hoo, I have to fly business class. But anyway, I decided, I'm like, okay, like maybe I can do a plan B. I found availability on the Emirates Game Changer going from Dubai to Brussels. So got on the phone, called Air France, canceled my flight, miles immediately refunded. And I ended up booking on Emirates. So I spent the night in the first class lounge in Dubai, got to fly the Emirates Game Changer to Brussels the next day. I had flown that before, but I mean, it's probably one of the coolest like seats and cabins you'll ever be on. So yeah, flew that into Brussels, flew Lufthansa over to Frankfurt, spent, I think I just did one night there. And then basically what started this whole trip and ultimately was the culmination was the Singapore Suites that I flew out on June 1st from Frankfurt to JFK. And like I said, that was the 86,000 points, which is their saver rate. But that was, I'd probably done 6 or 7, maybe 8 different first class products. I've done several. I mean, I can't tell you how many business class I've done, but there's no other experience like the Singapore Suites. I mean, you literally have this like playground. I mean, you've got this swiveling recliner chair that moves with a button. You've got a TV that comes out from the wall, 2 different types of very, very nice champagne. And I mean, like I said, it's a completely private suite. So my only regret is that I did not book a longer flight. Like I would have flown, you know, Singapore to Frankfurt and back 4 times if I could. It was just absolutely amazing. And definitely one of the harder, I mean, a lot of these, none of these are easy to score. These first class seats are really hard to come by. But essentially, this is the wrap up of the trip, which was the first thing that I booked on this whole trip was that Singapore Suites flight. And I just managed to plan and cram all this other stuff into it before I flew home. And yes, I literally just finally crunched all the numbers yesterday. But, you know, just to recap, like I said, it was essentially 1.35 million. Points, miles, whatever you want to call them. I only used 1,040,000 because there was some transfer bonuses, whether it was via Hilton, Avianca, you know, whatever it was. So basically just over 1 million points and miles turned into $72,721 in cash value. And that doesn't include, that actually doesn't even include whatever that presidential villa was going to cost for a few nights. I didn't even factor that in there because I'm like, I can't even include that into this, but yeah, all in. And then just to kind of give you a big picture for those people that don't really know about how all these transfer partners and things like that work. If you had a $70,000 vacation that you tried to book through the Amex portal or book through the Chase portal, depending on what card you have, you might need 7 million points to book this. But if you understand how to, you know, I don't know if leverage is the right word, but leverage these transfer partnerships that these airlines have or these banks have with the airlines and hotels, you know, you can either do 7 times the travel or save 7 times the amount of money or points. So, and this is like a great, even in my, this is like a great A example of, you know, what your points can do. So.
Did this wipe out your points bank or are you still sitting on another 1 million points?
You know, I have to pull up, I've got my crazy points tracker, but yeah, I definitely, you know, I always keep a baseline, you know, I never want to, like, you know, if I'm below X amount. So I basically like to keep at all times, I like to keep 1 million transferable points and miles at all times. So between Amex, Citi, Chase, Capital One, you know, no less than 1 million. And then from there, like I said, you got to earn these and you got to burn these. You know, the points and miles are never going to increase in value. So to me, generally, that floor is about a million. And if I'm sitting well above it, then you know what? Yes, I'll, even if it's not a great value, if I'm only going to get 2 or 3 cents per point, I'm not going to sweat using some points. But if I'm like right there, like I'm going to pay cash if it's not a good value. So I always like to keep a million. You know, that's going to be different for everybody. You know, I'm able to generate a pretty good amount every year by just some of the strategies that we've mentioned earlier. Nothing crazy. I'm not spending that. You know, I'm spending an average amount of money compared to what anybody else would. And then, you know, you factor in, you know, all your statuses. So like, you know, with Marriott, I'm earning 23.5 points a dollar. With Hilton right now, I'm earning 54 points a dollar. You know, United is 9 miles. So all those cash, those paid travels, I mean, those really add up to, in addition to the credit cards. So the credit cards are great, but when you're also earning these loyalty points, even just from a modest amount of travel, it's still mind-blowing how far these things can go. But yes, did I use all my points? No. Are my points as low as they've been in a few years? Yes. Am I a little worried? Yes. But do I know they're going to come back? They're going to come back. So, yeah. And I'll use them for the next one.
Yeah. The abundance mindset with points is important. And I know it's something that like always gets beginners where they're like, that was really hard to earn my first sign-up bonus. And I'm like, the 18th one is going to be maybe 1/18th the effort, because you just get really good at it after a while, where people are always asking what kind of low-key financial crimes are Tommy and I committing to get these things? And we're not. You just, over time, you learn how to get things like 20 points per dollar from stacking different loyalty programs. And we go through a lot of it in the podcast, the masterclass, and everything else. So as we kind of wrap up here, I think that's probably a good segue. What would be your number one tip for people, and how can we find you on the internet? Because I'm sure people are going to have a lot of questions because there's so much that we packed into this episode.
A few, just a couple little quick tips and pointers. And like I said, I'm sure you've all heard this all, but you know, A, credit is powerful if you use it responsibly. Okay. Every time you buy something, you need to get something back, whether it's 1 point, whether it's 2 point, whether it's whatever. If you're just getting started, the easiest way to do this is, yes, the sign-up bonuses are great. You can generate a significant amount of points by choosing what are the 3 things that you spend the most money on every year, okay? Is it food? Is it flights? Is it hotels? It's going to be different for everybody. But if you assign a credit card to your 3 highest spending categories, like for food, your Amex Gold earns you 4 times points. No other card earns you 4 times points on your food. So if you think about where the most of your money goes and you have a card that's going to bring you the most, easy points, easy money. Okay. And just be responsible with it. Pay your bill in full. If you're paying interest, whatever value is being generated from the points, well, you're kind of washing it out. So the easiest thing is sign-up bonuses are great. Optimize your everyday spend. That's the biggest thing. You don't even have to think about it. I mean, maybe a little bit, like, okay, food, gold card, but you'll figure that out. And then I guess the other little piece on the points earning thing is just kind of going back to these flights and these hotels and then kind of getting into the status. So just like you were saying, that 54 points. So with Hilton right now, I mean, anytime you're traveling, you need to earn points twice. One is from your credit card and one is from the hotel you're sleeping in or the airline you're flying at. So you're going to earn credit card points and the brand points, or the loyalty points, as I call them. So just to break that down, with Hilton, you get 10 points as a base member. You get 100% bonus as a diamond member. And then with my Amex Hilton Aspire card, which, by the way, gives you automatic diamond status, you get an additional 14 points. So that's 34. But you're like, you said 54. Well, all these hotels, and not necessarily airlines, but all these hotels do promotions all the time. So right now, Hilton is doing a 54x promotion where you're getting triple the points. So whether you stay at Hilton's once or even twice a year, whatever, but a 54 point return is like a 30% return on your spend, which is insane. But literally just by having a credit card, which I won't even get into the benefits of it, you're going to get 54 points per dollar on anything Hilton. So it's credit card plus loyalty points, and optimize your everyday spend. And that's how you earn points. And don't use them through the portal.
Do not buy a Roomba with your points or anything silly like that.
No gift cards. Whatever you do, no gift cards.
Yeah. So where can people find you if they have more questions?
Yeah, you know, just at Travel Like Tommy on Instagram. I'm working on expanding into potentially the YouTube world and the actual, you know, official website. But you know what? Right now, all the fun, all the action is at Travel Like Tommy on IG. So just like Julia, you know, I do some credit card consults. I'll help with some award bookings and stuff like that. But a lot of my Instagram, you're not going to see me. Like I dropped a lot, you know, good amount of value on the call today. You know, there's other people out there like Julia, like Max, who really drop so much amazing value and content that actually digs further into a lot of the things that I talked about today. I will be starting to get some more value onto my content, but what you'll see on my page is a lot of like, hey, this is what you can actually do with the points. So I'm not necessarily showing you the step-by-steps and the how-tos, but you're getting a visual representation of what points can do. And like I said, there's links in the bio if you know, you want to learn more, and maybe I can help you out, plan a trip, or get you started on the right path with points. But yeah, either way, Julia, it was super awesome chatting with you today. I definitely appreciate you having me out and letting me kind of, you know, share the Million Point May and just kind of my story in general.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We learned so much. So much was packed into here. So thank you so much.
Well, sounds good. Take care.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!